Hallelujah. Why don't we give a clap offering unto the living God? You know, truly, our God is strong. He's really strong. There is no other person or no other God stronger than our God. And so it's a privilege to sing back his words unto him. And so this morning, we are privileged to be part of this morning's service and to enjoy the goodness of our living God. This morning, I'm here to talk on the subject, strength in the spiritual conflict. Strength in the spiritual conflict. And our main text will be taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Shall we come before the living God with a word of prayer? Our gracious and everlasting Father, once again, we come before you, Lord, as your children, whom you have redeemed, O Lord, with your mighty hand, and as, O Lord, sustain us to this very day. We humbly commit our life before you this morning, pleading, O God, that you behold us with your eyes of mercy. May you make, O Lord, our path straight this morning. Your word, O Lord, that will be delivered unto our soul, Lord, may it fall on a very fertile ground. We ask, O Lord, your spirit, O Lord, to minister to our soul, to grant us the willingness, O God, to be the doers of your word. Our Heavenly Father, we invite you, Lord, O God, to take preeminence over whatsoever is going to be done here, that your name will forever be glorified in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, in this particular text, Apostle Paul began by using the word, finally, my brethren. And in life, whenever somebody is about to leave an individual or group of people, that person's final word seems to be something that is so important to him or her. And so it's the last epistle of Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus seems to be so important to him. And so he began by saying, finally, my brethren. With this same word, Apostle Paul is not just drawing the epistle to a close, but much importantly, he wanted to address an issue that seems to be so important and cut across every aspect of life. Because in this life, we are meant to face challenges. And these challenges had no respect to color, had no respect to height, had no respect to ethnicity or country. Wherever you are coming from, whoever you are bound to face challenges. You are bound to face conflict. And so Apostle Paul wanted the church in Ephesus to know that in this life that they are in, there are some things that you cannot negotiate. There are some things that there is nothing that you can do to change it. And that is you being attacked, being under all forms of challenges. And so Apostle Paul wanted them to know that this is the life that we are in. And so supposing this is true, that we are in a life of difficulties, a life of challenges, then how is this challenge is? How is this challenge? How is the nature of this particular challenge that we are in? And so for us to know the nature of the challenge, when you read something in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4, the Bible says, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the warfare that we are in is not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so in this particular text, the nature of our conflict is a spiritual conflict. It's a spiritual battle. And it's in the spiritual realm. And so the use of AK-47 or maybe machine gun is of no use in this kind of battle. Physical kind of maybe ammunition or something that we can arm ourselves with physically is of no use because the battle is in the spirit. And so in this situation, it's demanded of us to also acquire spiritual weapons to be able to combat our enemies when we are faced with spiritual conflict. It is in this same view that the church leadership decided that this year we have to live an authentic Christian life. And for us to live a successful, authentic Christian living, then you and I need to arm ourselves with the spiritual weapons that will give us victory in the spiritual realm to be made vivid in the physical realm. And so we all need to arm ourselves with the spiritual weapons that will be able to combat our enemy. Beloved in the Lord, our main text under consideration this morning is taken from Ephesians 6, the verse 10 down to 20. And we'll be taking them piece by piece as we go. The verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And in the verse 10, Apostle Paul was telling them that they should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And what is that trying to tell us in this particular text? In that text, he's trying to let us identify our source of strength with the Lord. And so the source of strength of every believer, it is not coming from us, but it's coming from the Lord. The Bible is saying that we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And this strength is of the Lord. And it is in his power that we are able to overcome every conflict in our lives. And so for us to live this authentic Christian living, we need to identify our source with the Lord as the supplier of our strength, as the one through whom we can defeat and demolish every stronghold of the enemy. So how then do we get this strength? The Bible says something in the book of 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, "But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit." He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Because we have united ourselves with the Lord, we've accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior. The Bible says we are one with him in spirit. And therefore you and I will function through his position as God to demolish every stronghold of the enemy. When we stand before our enemies in times of conflict and challenges, we are not standing there because you are who you are, but you are standing there because you have united yourself with the Lord and you are one with him in spirit. And therefore, that battle, even though you are faced with it, but it's the battle of the Lord. And so that is how you and I could obtain this strength and be able to demolish every stronghold of the enemy. And so that is our position in Christ. And when the 72 disciples returned from healing and then performing all forms of miracle, and they were so joyful, they told Christ, and Christ told them that, you know what, I have even given you power to trample upon scorpions and serpents, and all powers, that none of them will be able to harm you. That was what Christ told them in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 19. He told them that I have given you power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And these are not physical serpents and scorpions, but they are spiritual serpents and scorpions that militate against our lives, that militate against every aspect of our lives, in our marriages, in our relationship, in our child and then parent relationship. There are evil spirits that militate and bring about disobedience upon children so that parents find it difficult in controlling their children. All these are spiritual forces that we need to combat. But here the Bible says Christ has given us power over them. And so this is what Christ had made us. And this is the power that is under our disposal if we identify our source with the Lord as the one who gives us the power to overcome all spiritual conflict. If only we shall remain united with him and one with him in spirit, we would forever exercise this authority unto the glory of our living God. So then how do we then get this spiritual strength? When you read the verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Put on the whole armor of God. And in this context, he's not talking about putting parts of the armor, deciding to select the one that is maybe conducive for you. But then he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, not parts of the armor. And I have some questions here. Did the Bible say that we should put on our securities in this life? Our securities, your social securities, did the Bible ask us to put them on? No. The Bible asks us to put on our financial securities, our connections with people. No. Why did the Bible ask us? Aren't they important? Aren't they something that could also be helpful? But the Bible did not talk about that. Why? Because they are not spiritual weapons. They cannot deliver you from your spiritual attack. But that which could be able to deliver you from the spiritual attack is what he's asking us to put on. And the other aspect is that can one decide to disobey the command of put on the armor of God and decide that I will not put on, yet I'll be a Christian? Would that be possible? Would one live in disobedience, not putting on the whole armor of God, and yet be successful in spiritual conflict? No. But most of us in this life, that is the life we are living. We are believers, but we are telling God, I'm not going to put on. I can handle the situation myself. I'm not going to put on truth. I'm not going to live righteously. I'm not going to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And yet I'll be successful. That is the lifestyle that we are portraying to our living God. That we want to go by our own way, not putting on the whole armor, yet we'll be successful. And when we fail, and when we are disappointed, then we turn back to God. And then as if God doesn't care about us. As if God doesn't consider our situation. But then we have decided our own path. Beloved in the Lord, this armor, as the name implies, is the armor of God. It is not for you. You didn't create it. It is God who created it himself. And our duty is for us to just put them on. You have nothing else to do with this armor than to put them on. As somebody who had been purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in perfect obedience, you have to put the whole armor of God on. So that we'll be able to stand firm and overcome all spiritual conflicts in this life. And so our duty here is to put them on, but not to hang them in our closet. Only to be seen on Sundays, that people will realize that we are also Christians. But right after here, we then decide to do our own thing, to go about our own private life, with no regard to the armor of God in our life. At our workplace, people don't see us as people that are Christians. In our marketplaces, in our families, in our laboratories, in our classrooms, we decide to portray a different lifestyle. But the Bible required of us that 24/7, wherever you are, you have to put on the armor of God. Do you know why? Because the enemy that is chasing you, the one that is in a battle with your life, is not resting. He's after you 24/7. And you who is on the run, you are saying that I'm tired, so I want to take a rest. What do you think will happen to you? There is somebody chasing you, want to destroy you. And the person is not tired, hasn't given up. And you who is running for your life, you said you are tired, so you want to have a rest. You'll be destroyed by the destroyer. And so the Lord required of us to put on the whole armor 24/7 to enable us to overcome all the attacks of the enemy. And so it was Apostle Paul. He puts it in a different way in Romans chapter 13 verse 14. He says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the implication of clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ? When you look at the armor of God, when you talk about the belt of truth, Christ is the truth. When you talk of the truth, Christ is the truth. If you ignore Christ, you ignore the truth. When you talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we do not have any righteousness on our own. The righteousness that we have is the righteousness of God through Christ. And so Christ is our righteousness. When you talk about walking in the shoes of the gospel of peace, who is the Prince of Peace in this life? Christ is the Prince of Peace. When you talk about the shield of faith, who is the faith that we hold onto? It is Christ that we hold onto. He is our faith. The shield that protects you is the shield of faith. And that shield is faith. And faith is Christ. And Christ is that shield. And so we are holding on to Christ. And when you talk about the helmet of salvation, who has given us salvation in this life? It is Christ that has purchased us by his precious blood. And so when you put on that salvation, it's Christ himself that you are putting on. And last but not the least, when you talk about the sword of the Spirit, what is the sword here? The sword is the word of God. And the word of God is Christ. And so Apostle Paul put it in the right context that clothe yourself. Clothe yourself with Christ. so that you will not be liable in fulfilling the desires of this world. So that you will have the strength to combat all spiritual conflicts. The challenges you are faced with, the difficulties in your relationship, in your marriages, in your child and parent relationship, and job relationship, every situation, if you put on, if you clothe yourself with Christ, beloved, there is no way the Lord will disappoint you. You have the needed strength to resolve all issues. You have the needed strength to overcome and demolish every stronghold of the enemy. And you have the needed strength to soar above all problems. Because its levels, as you resolve, some time will come, you'll be able to demolish. And a time will come, you don't even see them, you just soar above them. Because the power of God on you is so much that the problems are nothing. You just soar above them. And so the Lord expects us that we develop ourselves, we put on. Put on now. So that as time goes on, you'll be developing. The difficulties that are so hard for you today, in some time to come, as you keep on putting it on, it will not be any problem for you anymore. You just speak and then they will obey. Because your obedience in Christ has been completed. And as your obedience in Christ has been completed, you have the power to command every disobedient to obey. And so the Lord requires of us that as His children, we clothe ourselves with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what are then these armors that the Lord was talking about? When you look at the verse 14 down to 17, the whole armor of God involves, the first one He talked about is truth. Truth. And He says, put on the belt of truth. We all know the importance of a belt. The belt holds our attire together and makes us look very smart. And here, the belt that the Bible is talking about is He's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the truth is Christ Himself. John 14:6 says, for I am the way, the truth, and life. So Christ is the truth. And so if the belt holds us together, then Christ also, in a sense, holds our life together and gives us the sense of direction and purpose in life. When you have Christ, when you have truth in your life, you have your life be brought together again. When you have no truth in your life, your life is in a scattered condition. But when Christ is in your life, when you have truth in your life is brought back in order. And then just brought back, He doesn't even bring your life back in order alone, but then He gives you the sense of direction and purpose to live for in this life. So if you ignore Christ, you ignore the reason for living. If you ignore the truth, you ignore direction in life. Things will become difficult for you. You will then be using your own means of trying to fix situation. But I can assure you, it won't last. All the system that you think you are holding on to will collapse. If the truth is not in the system. If the truth is not the foundation. And the truth also enables us to be free. Because most of us are in diverse form of bondage. We are unable to do that which is right. But when you get to know the truth will set you free. The truth will enable you to have a purpose, a reason for living, and will give you a direction in this life, and will set your life free. So the truth will give us a sense of direction and purpose, and set us free from all challenges. Now, the second one that He talked about is righteousness, which is a breastplate of righteousness, and this guides our hearts. The breastplate of a soldier guides the heart. And the purpose of this is to avoid any arrow being shot by the enemy from penetrating into your heart. Because you know how sensitive our heart is to the entire body. And so it says that the Bible says that guide your heart with all diligence. For out of it comes the issues of life. If your heart is not protected, if your heart is not guided, and you allow the enemy to penetrate by deception, by ways of trying to let you feel that you don't matter in this life, and so you compromise with the standard of this world, you then leave out the righteousness of God. Your own righteousness has no strength to defend you from the enemy. The only righteousness that can defend us from the enemy is the righteousness that we obtain through Christ by faith. And so this righteousness is expected that we put them on. And so Apostle Paul says something in Romans 3:22, that this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference. To all who believe, we obtain this righteousness through Christ. It's the righteousness of God through faith in Christ that we obtain it. And so if we do not put on this righteousness and we begin to live life with our own form of defined righteousness, beloved, we become prone to the attacks of the enemy. And so the Lord required of us that we live in righteousness, that the righteousness will also live by faith. The righteous person will also live by faith. The Lord expects that as we live righteously, we exercise faith in it. For without faith, the Bible says that no man can please God. To obtain God's approval in standing before the enemy. And so when we have the righteousness of Christ on, we have the ability to overcome the enemy. And the righteousness of God protects us from the accusations of Satan. The righteousness of God protects us from the accusation of Satan. We stand blameless before our enemies. The next one is the gospel of peace. That's the walking in the shoes of the gospel of peace. And with this particular walking in the shoes of the gospel of peace, the first aspect is our readiness. Our readiness to become living epistles in our society. Our readiness to walk in that gospel of peace. For our lives to be Bible for people to read. In our workplace, in our families, in our every situation we find ourselves. It doesn't necessarily need you to talk to them about coming to accept the Lord. But then they'll rather come to you and ask you, what is making you look so different in everything? Your opinion, your virtues, the things you hold on to seem to be different and it's challenging to us. Then that you have the opportunity to tell them who Christ is. So our readiness to walk in that gospel of peace. And then if we are able to do that, we then have the courage and the boldness to carry it to others. So Apostle Paul said something, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why isn't he ashamed? Because he knows that he is the carrier of God's power. When you are a carrier of God's power and you are standing before an enemy, what kind of enemy can resist maybe whatever you want to do? There will not be any enemy that will stand against you because you are a carrier of the power of God. And so it's expected of us as children of God that we should be ready to become living epistles in everywhere we find ourselves. Our lives should testify unto people who we are. Let them come to know Christ by the way we react to situations, the way we talk, the way we relate with them. Let that begin to preach the gospel to them. And when that boldness, you are able to win their confidence, that is the time that you can sit the person down and begin to disciple the person for Christ. And so the Lord expects us as his children to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And also the Bible says something in Romans 10:15, that how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We are the carriers of God's power unto salvation. You are a carrier. Don't underrate yourself. For the salvation that you have had given you an opportunity to carry God's power. Everywhere you find yourself, you are possessed, you are full of God's power. And that power is meant to bring about salvation in people's life. To bring about deliverance in people's life. To bring about restoration in people's life. So we don't have to underrate the privilege that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The next one it says is faith, which is like a shield. And as we know, when a military man is at the war front with his shield on, he feels very secure because at least he knows that when somebody strikes, he will use the shield to defend it. When anybody fires, you know that you use the shield to defend it. And so it is that believers, when we also have faith and we are in the battle, we also feel very secured. When you have faith and you are confronted with sickness, you are confronted with disappointment, you know what the Bible says about that situation. And so you are confident and you are able to stand against all those attacks of the enemy. And so the Bible says something in 1 John 5 verse 4. It says, for whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And this faith is the faith that is found in Christ. It is not your own self-developed faith. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not about something that you know that is already in place. And so I know for sure I will have it. That's not the kind of faith we are talking about. We are talking about the kind of faith that God's own Holy Spirit, through the word of God in your life, will ignite in you to be firm on your ground, even though you have no information about the situation. Even though you don't have the clue about what the future looks like. But because of God's work in you, through His Holy Spirit, will use that work to motivate you to be firm and to be yes in all your situations. And that's the kind of faith that is required of us when we are confronted with issues. When you are confronted with situations, you need the word of God in you to be motivated by the Spirit of God so that you can be firm and you can stand against those obstacles. If you don't know anything about healing in the Bible and you are sick, there is no way you think about God healing you. And so it's required of us to learn, to give ourselves to the study of the word, the listening of the word, praying the word, so that the word will indwell us richly. The word will indwell in us so that in moments of crisis, beloved, we would have the word in us that by the power of the Holy Ghost will use that same word to motivate us to be strong and face that challenge. That's the kind of faith that the Lord required of us as His children to overcome all obstacles in this life. So the Bible tells us that for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. We need God's approval when we come before the enemy. And for us to please Him, we need to hold on to faith as you stand against the enemy so that you'll be able to overcome all his attacks. So faith, our faith in Christ overcomes the world. The faith that you and I have in Christ overcomes the world. Last but not the least is salvation, which is like a helmet. And Apostle Paul puts it like this in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. That hope of salvation, hope of salvation. Why is he talking about hope of salvation? It's hope of salvation because of the work that was done on the cross of Calvary. Because of the work that Christ did on the cross of Calvary, we have hope. We have hope. When we put on helmet and we are in a battle front, we feel very safe. Because we know that anything coming to our head, will be protected by the helmet. But as a believer, what can protect your soul is your salvation. The only thing that can redeem your soul is the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. And that is the work that was done on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when we stand before the enemy and we begin to think that it's by our own might, it's by our own power, it's by our own ideas, beloved, we will be disappointed. The enemy will succeed over our lives. And so the Lord expects us to depend on Him in moments of battle. So the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ protect our souls in battle. The salvation we have protect our souls in battle. Then the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is living and active. And when you read something, Matthew 4:4, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ overcame the enemy by the word of God. And so he told him, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of our living God. And in Revelation 12:11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Beloved, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And this is the only offensive weapon that we are handed to. God handed into our hands this offensive weapon to demolish every stronghold, to cast down every imagination, and to pull down every activities of the enemy. Christians are given this sword in battle. So our offensive weapon to execute God's judgment. The judgment that God has already declared on the heathen. The judgment that has already been declared over nations. It is in your hands for you to bring them to pass. If you hold on to the sword of the Spirit. What's the need for all this spiritual strength? When you look at something in the verse 11b down to 13. The verse 11b says that to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when we talk about the wiles of the devil, they are very trickery, they are very cunning acts that the enemy brings in our way. To have three goals achieved. And these three goals are to blind people from the gospel. First of all, he tries to blind us from the gospel. And when you can find that reference in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. So that when you hear the gospel, you will not take it serious. Some people in life don't believe anything about God. He had blinded their eyes from the gospel. That there is nothing like that. They are living their own free life. And there are some people to that belief, but then their conscience has been seared with hot iron. Because of what? False doctrine. Some people believe that there is God, but the kind of God that they know, or the way that they think it should be approached, is not maybe what the Bible is saying. So their conscience has been seared with hot iron and will not believe what, and so they are also in the same category of being blinded from the gospel. Then the second one is that he entices people to indulge in wrong desires of the flesh and the mind. You know, the world in which we are today, people don't see anything wrong with premarital sex. People don't see anything wrong with extramarital affairs. People don't see anything wrong with bribery and corruption. They have different terminologies for them and feel comfortably involving themselves in it without any fear. And that is the kind of life that the world has designed through the wiles of the enemy. He has then carved a system for us to work in that for the simple reason that we would conform to his standards that he has. And so we can find that one too in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. It says, followed the ways of the world, of the rulers of darkness of the air, and the spirit who is now at work with those who are disobedient. For some of them are even believers, yet are in the state of disobedience, disobeying God so much so that they don't even have any fear in them. And that is one of the objectives of the wiles of the enemy. And finally, he brings persecution upon those who try to do right. For us who want to obey the Lord, you will not find it easy. You will not find it easy because he'll be marking you toe to toe. He would want you to lose heart. He wants you to feel disappointed in the Lord that you are serving. And so he will bring all forms of attack on your life. But I'm here to tell you, never lose heart. Never lose heart. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The surprising thing is that the people that you think they are enjoying the world, they are even facing worse situations than you are. So why do you give up? Why do you give up because of disappointment? Why do you give up because of failure? The Bible encourages us never, but we should be what? We should be vigilant. We should be sober. We should be sober. We should be vigilant. Just please be patient and humble yourself. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting him. And resist the enemy by faith, and he will flee from you. The Lord requires of us to exercise it. And the most encouraging thing is that in Matthew 5:10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The assurance is that if you are persecuted, you are blessed. As long as you are on the right path and you are persecuted, you are blessed. The second aspect is that to wrestle against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Beloved, in this world, I know that some people don't believe that there are still demons around. Some people don't believe that there are still wicked spirits around. But I'm here to tell you they are still working. They are still working. In the book of Daniel 10:13, the Bible tells us that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood the angel that was to bring the answers of Daniel's prayer until angel Michael was dispatched to come and help that angel to overcome the prince who is in charge of the kingdom of Persia. And so that is to tell us that there are demons resisting our response, our prayers. They are resisting it. And so if you don't stand with the full armor, you will sometimes feel disappointed because there are principalities who are ruling the atmosphere. Another aspect of it too is that in the book of Acts 10:38, the Bible tells us that there are spirits of the devil holding people in oppression. So the Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all people that are in diverse form of oppression. So still the spirit of the devil is keeping people in oppression. And not just that alone, they are also doing false miracles. And when you can read something in Revelation 16:14, they are duplicating what Christ has done to deceive people into their own kingdom. And the main object for this is that to render believers ineffective in their dealings or in their time with their living God. And so Satan is not the one that we are in battle alone with, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There are all forms of evil forces that we are combating. Then finally, the verse 13 talks about to be able to stand in the evil day. To be able to stand in the evil day. And this evil day is just an ordinary day. This evil day is just an ordinary day. The day marked with 24 hours, just like any other day. But the intent of that day that the enemy has designed for us is to bring defeat and destruction to our lives. And so he put mechanisms and situations in place just to destroy our lives. And so we can, so this evil day is just a spiritual trap set for us to influence our life. If we are not walking in the spirit, and we can find examples of such situations in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we can read something about King Uzziah. He was a good and a godly king until one day pride arose within his heart. And where he should not have supposed to be, he went there and offered a sacrifice, the Holy of Holies. And the Lord struck him over there with disease. And that changed his life forever. Beloved in the Lord, the Bible says that we should keep our hearts with all diligence. We should not allow pride into our lives. The day of evil happened to King Uzziah because of pride. King David, also, when he reads something, the book of 2 Samuel 11, the Bible says when kings ought to go to war, he tarried in Jerusalem. When you are supposed to come here on Sunday, you decide to rest in your bed because you feel you are tired. That lady will visit you that day. If you are supposed to join the choristers at practice, and you decide maybe you have an excuse for not coming, beloved, that guy will give you a call that I want to have dinner with you. And something different can take place. And that could be your evil day in your life. And that can turn your life around forever. These are the situations King David found himself. When he ought to go for battle, he sent the army commander to take the people there. And when he was having a stroll on the top of his building, he beholds the nakedness of Bathsheba having her bath. And as he couldn't discipline himself, he went into an adulterous act with him. That led to murder and lying to the entire people. And the result of that action never left his reign. And his family had been suffered with that. Just because when the evil day approached, he couldn't discipline himself. Beloved, the Bible says something in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, that we need self-control. It says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. If you are living your life without self-control, it's like you have no protection over your own life. If your business is without discipline, it's without walls of protection. And when the enemy attacks, he will succeed. And so this evil day can change our life forever. It can change us for the worse. It can change our life forever. And the last but not the least, the last thing that I want us to consider here is, when you look in the book of Acts chapter 5, we can have a record about Ananias and Sapphira. They were also new converts in the church and saw how people were donating to help the needy. And so they decided to sell their land and also help with the needy. But it happened that when they sold the land, they kept some of the proceeds. They lied before the apostles. And the apostle said that you did not lie against men, but against the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said they fell down there and died one after the other. And this is some of the consequences of us lying. The evil day can take us unaware. When they lied, they fell down and died. And so the father of all lies is the devil. And his object is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we ought to be aware of that. And so we are assured of one thing too, that in all these evil days, the Bible says something in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that there is no temptation taking us but such as is common to man. All that we're going through, all the difficulties, there is none that is meant to kill us or to destroy us. For all is common to us. And so we should take heart in our living God. Maybe you may be frightened about maybe why all these challenges on us. That we have no ability to resist the wiles of the enemy, the spiritual hosts of wickedness, the evil days. But I'm here to tell you that in the book of 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 it says, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. He hasn't abandoned us. In moments of the wiles of the enemy, in moments of the future host of wickedness, in moments of evil days, if we will look up to him, he is faithful. He will strengthen us and protect us. And also in 1 John 4 verse 4, it says, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So how then do you achieve this? It's by prayer. The verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and watching. And so you and I today, for us to be effective, for us to overcome, then our prayers must also go for at least some three particular areas. And the first area that we need to talk about is praying for all saints to have the attitude of perseverance. And for all saints to have their supplications being met. And finally, for all the servants of God. So our prayers are meant to go for all this. We are faced with the attitude of impatience. But if we pray, we should remember our brothers that are also in that same situation. The needs of our brethren, we should pray and pray for them as well. And also the people of God that have been sent into the world. And in conclusion, the book of Daniel 6 tells us about the kind of struggle that was between the church and the world. And here the object is to try and then paralyze us from prayer. They tried it on the life of Daniel, but it failed. But you and I today have the secret to put on the whole armor of God so that we can have a holy walk in prayer. And so Daniel was successful when he exercises. Today, David is telling us in Psalm 55, verse 16 and 17, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me, evening, morning, and at noon, and pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This hour, I just want to ask to take some few minutes of your time for us to exercise this particular sermon in prayer. Because the Lord is admonishing us to put on the whole armor of God so that we'll be able to combat all spiritual conflicts. The conflict that arises in our families, that arises in our work life and all facets of our life. As we come before the Lord in prayer, whichever posture you think is good for you, you just exercise it. Feel free to sit down, feel free to stand, and feel free to do whatever you want to do. As we come before the Lord in prayer, I want you to, first of all, our prayer is for all the saints to have the attitude of perseverance. To have the attitude of patience. Because the Bible says that having done all, we need patience so that we can receive the hope of our salvation. We need patience. Begin to talk to God that, Lord God, grant us the attitude of patience. For your people, for your church, grant us the attitude of patience. For yourself, talk to God. For somebody you know that needs that attitude of patience, to be patient before God, to persevere, to endure all hardness. Just open up your spirit and begin to talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we trust, O God, in your word, O Lord, that has admonished us today. The Lord God, our prayers have to go for all saints, O Lord, for perseverance. We ask that, Lord, may you grant unto our hearts that persevering attitude, that enduring heart, the heart of God that will enable us to wait patiently until it's time, Lord, oh God, for you to manifest your glory in our lives. Again, I want us to pray for all the saints, their supplication, their need, their physical need, their challenges and all difficulties. Just talk to God that the Lord should hearken to their needs. All that they are crying for, those that are in need of school fees, those that are in need of support, just talk to God that God be gracious over their life and meet their needs. Just talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we trust you, O Lord, to minister to the needs of your people, their difficulties, their challenges, O God. May you be with them, O Lord. May you be with them, O Lord, and granting unto them, O Lord, their needs to come. Again, I want us to also pray for the leaders, the missionaries, the people God has sent into the world and are faced with challenges and difficulties. Just lift up your heart and talk to God that the Lord will show them his mercy, those under persecution, those in prison, those that are not having enough to support themselves, even though they are missionaries. Talk to God for God to be their helper. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust you for the life of the missionaries, people you sent into the world, O God. That, Lord God, they will be effective by the power of you, Lord, O God. Father, in their ministry, Lord, they will have sufficient. They will have the comfort, Lord, even in you, in all that they go through, O Lord. And finally, the Bible says something in John 19:30. It says, it is finished. Beloved, the work of our salvation is finished on the cross. And so it is in your life that the struggle is finished. If only you believe in the Lord and you put on the whole armor of God, just need to talk to God that, Father, you finished every work on the cross. And so the challenges I'm going through, the difficulties I'm going through, I lift them all up before you. For your word tells me that it is finished. You need to pray for yourself and intercede for yourself. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we humbly lift up our life before you. The difficulties we are in, the challenges we are in, your word declares unto us that all was finished on the cross of Calvary. Upon this, O Lord, we declare that, Lord God, we are liberated. We are free from every struggle, every activity of the enemy, hindering us, compelling us to conform to this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we set ourselves free. For you have liberated us, and you have liberated us for good, O Lord. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies. For we know that, Lord, you've not left us as orphans, as people without any protection. But Lord God, you have provided for us your full armor, the armor of God, to protect us in moments of spiritual conflict, in situations that overwhelm us, that we have no clue as to how it is and how we are going to overcome. But because of the armor, Father, we are confident that we are victors. We thank you, Lord, for this armor. We also thank you for the power in the blood that is at our disposal, still fresh on the altar, and pleading for our salvation, pleading for our forgiveness, pleading for our victory. We thank you that the host of angels are also behind us in moments of future conflict to dismantle, to demolish, and to overthrow every activity of the enemy. Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us. And for that matter, Lord, we are undefeatable. You dwell in us. We are your carriers, O God. And so we are people that forever shall defeat the works of the enemy. We humbly thank you for making all these provisions available unto our life for victory in spiritual conflict, O God. Father, as your word declares unto us, that we should be strong. O Zerubbabel, the leadership of GICF, we should be strong, declares the word of the living God. Be strong, those that are serving in various ministries, the high priest and all those that are in diverse offices. The Lord is saying we should be strong. Be strong, all the people of this land, the people in GICF. The Lord is saying be strong. Do not lose heart in moments of spiritual conflict. Strengthen yourself in me. The Lord is saying it. That hold on to me. Hold on to me. I am still with you. My spirit is among you and it's in your life. I am still with you. I have not left you. Declare this word unto us. That in moments of crisis, he has not abandoned us. If only we will hold on to him. If only we will still stick to him. He has his word unto our lives. Father, we thank you and bless you for this evening, this morning. Be thou exalted, O God. Be thou glorified in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.